Cool. Have you ever seen these? And I really liked them. I was a student of history, but have you ever seen these just beautiful, majestic cathedrals? Maybe historic cathedrals. Some are newer than others, but you know, I'm talking about like Sistine Chapel, you know, with Michelangelo's masterpiece, or also St. Peter's is also at the Vatican, St. Peter's Basilica, Westminster Abbey. You know, I'm talking about just these amazing works and feats of art and architecture. You know, I really enjoy them. Our own St. Augustine. Will you guys remind me to remind you of that when? How much of a reminder do I need? You know, I mean, there it is. But we'll talk about that in a minute, and we'll talk about that too. Here's my cathedrals, but there's a couple actually in our own St. Augustine. A couple of really cool. One of them was finished in 1797. The one, the Catholic one. It's Cathedral Basilica, and it's kind of right across the street from the main square there, the park, and it's beautiful inside. That's it at the bottom there. It's amazing what all they do. And then I believe the one on the top right is Memorial Presbyterian, also in St. Augustine. And I really enjoy them. I've been in both and really just appreciate them. I love them. They're works of art. You know, I hope they're man just trying to, show God how much we love him. And they're wonderful, except, everybody say except. How many know I like to ruin everything? Isn't that right? I build it up. It's all cool. And, wait a minute. Except, and to me, this is kind of a big except. Except Jesus never asked us to build him temples. Does anybody see the potential problem with that? I mean, we're building temples all over the world and have been for hundreds of years, thousands of years. Yet, the one we say we're doing it for never asked us to do that. He never asked us to represent him in that way. I think it's wonderful. He just didn't ask us to do it. Yet, to me, it just seems like, folks, that could be a problem. There could be a potential problem there that we just do it. He never asked us to do it, and we just do it anyway, and we just keep doing it. To me, that seems like a problem. As a matter of fact, he actually said, don't build me temples. Isn't that interesting? We go back all the way back to the prophet Isaiah. Look at Isaiah, the last book of Isaiah 66, verse 1. This is what the Lord says. The heaven is my throne. You like my green? I figure we might as well use this screen, right? Yeah, wear green next week, you know. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Can you build me a temple as good as that? Can you see what God's saying there? He's saying the whole earth is a footstool. If the whole earth's a footstool, what's one building, the most magnificent building on earth? What's one building? If the whole earth is a footstool, what's one building? Yeah, it's a microscopic speck. It's a grain of sand. And we're like, oh, these are so wonderful. God must really be pleased. And he's like, hey, I created the whole earth. And you're going to build me something? I put my foot on it. I put my foot on the earth. I rest. You know, and so he's basically saying, that's not how. Yes, I want you to represent me. Yes, go into all the world. Yes. But he never said, build me temples. As a matter of fact, he said, why are you doing that? Why are you building me a temple? It's not what I want. Well, what does he want? We're spending all this time, energy, money in temples. What does he want? Verse 2, he gives us a hint. This is the New American Standard Bible. But to this one I will look. Here's what I'm looking for, God says. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit, who trembles at my word. Another translation says, shows respect. Can you see the difference? God's saying, I'm not really all that into temples. I know you guys like them, that's fine. I'm not into them, he says. You know, go ahead, build them if you want. They're not for me. But I do want something. I'd like to have some humble people. That's what I would like. I'd like to have some humble people who respect what I say. See, that's what he's after. That's really what he's after. He doesn't really care about all this stuff. He's looking for a person. He's looking for a type, a kind of person. Well, in this series, we've been talking about how to represent him, and we used Jesus washing the disciples' feet last week. And in this series, we've been talking about the way the first generation church represented Jesus was they shared with those in need. They shared with those in need. Everything they had, they shared with those in need. And last week we talked about we would descend. When we represent Jesus, we do what he did. He went from heaven to a manger. We descend to the least, to the lowest, to the person that needs the most help. That's how we represent Jesus. That's how we go into all the world. So today, what I want to say is how we represent him is very simply by serving humanity. It's no more difficult than that, serving humanity. Let's look what Jesus said to Peter. Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet. Peter said, no, you will never wash my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me, or you won't have any part with me. You can't be involved with me, Jesus said. Unless you understand this washing dirty feet stuff, unless you understand this, you're not going to understand me. Because Jesus is what Isaiah talked about. He is humble and contrite and shows respect to God's word. He said, unless you understand that, you're not going to have a part with me. You're not going to be able to be involved with me. He goes on to say, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I'm doing? See, he wants to make sure this lesson doesn't go unnoticed. He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, "I'm this whole thing's an example. It's an example that of how I want you to treat each other." Now, anybody here Southern Baptist? If you're Southern Baptist, They literally wash feet. They literally wash. You can come to church with dirty feet and leave with spanking new feet. They will wash your feet for you. I've been to a foot washing service. To be honest with you, folks, I don't think that's... Now, back then, you needed it. There were no concrete. There were no nice shoes. You wore sandals, and you walked in dirt. And so it was custom that when you came to a person's house, their servants, pretty much the lowest person on the totem pole, washed your feet. So when Jesus did that to these guys, it was blowing their mind. See? Washing feet. He goes on to say, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Now notice the setting. Last night he's with them. Do you think that any of them ever forgot this lesson? If Jesus, could you imagine that? If Jesus comes walking in here today, says, Rick, sit down, he gets a bowl, and he begins to wash my feet. I'm not going to forget that. Jesus washing my feet. I'm not going to ever forget that. But what's the lesson? See, the lesson isn't washing feet. The lesson is, I want you to treat people the way I'm treating you. I want you to treat humanity. If you were here last week, you remember that I said I wasn't sure if Judas was in the crowd at this time or if he'd already left. I was drawing a mental block. Well, he was still here. Jesus washed Judas' feet, knowing what was going to happen. The disciples didn't know, but they knew later. This mental picture came to their mind. Wow, Jesus, he even washed Judas' feet. Talk about serving humanity. He treated Judas exactly the same as the other 11. They didn't even know Judas was the betrayer until it had already happened. Jesus never treated him any different. He says, I want you, See, God said, I don't need any temples. The earth is my footstool. I need humble people who will serve humanity. That's what he's after. Serving humanity. And that's the message here. Notice what he didn't do. You know, a lot of times we can learn from what Jesus didn't do. Notice he didn't gather after the meal. He didn't gather them around and said, okay, now here's my blueprint for temples. I want the windows over here. I want them stained glass. I want the organ on this side. I want the throne over here. I want the gold plates over here. I want all this stuff and give them a blueprint for temples. He didn't do that. No blueprint. How did we get that? Where did we come up with that? What he did give us an example of, no blueprint for temples, but a blueprint for how to serve humanity. How to be a humble person serving others. And then he goes on to say, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends him. So yes, we all agree, Jesus is sending us. He's sending us, and he's saying, look, I'm the master, and I'm washing your feet. Now I'm sending you to do the same. So that's what God's looking for. All right, that's how we represent him. Now notice, Jesus didn't wash God's feet that night. He didn't teach us how to wash God's feet. How many know God's feet's probably not dirty? I'm just taking a wild guess. I just don't think he needs any feet washing. I don't think he's interested necessarily in me washing his feet. Even to the point of, Jesus wasn't even teaching us, now he was in a roundabout way, he wasn't even teaching us how to serve God. He was teaching us how to serve people. That was the lesson that night, how to serve people. Now, when you serve people, yes, you end up serving God. Because you're showing respect to his word. See, it's only humanity that has dirty feet. And those are the feet we are to wash. And so he says, serve them as I've served you. And it's so easy for us, folks, that when somebody has dirty feet, it's so easy for us to judge them for their dirty feet. Ooh, they have dirty feet. I'm not washing dirty feet. I only wash clean feet or holy feet. You know, I only wash worthy feet. I'm not going to wash dirty feet. And that's not the lesson. Over the years, as I deal with some of these folks, you know, that just have dirt in their life, you know, join the club. We all do. And over the years, I've noticed the tendency in the human being, both in myself and others, the tendency is to judge people and condemn people, to analyze people, to investigate, you know, why, how, to change, all these different things we do. And yet the one thing Jesus said was just wash them. Just wash them. You don't have to get involved in all that other stuff. Just wash them. I'm looking for a humble, contrite person that will show respect to what I ask. That's what he's looking for. And we're building temples. You know. All right. Let's go on. This is the same night. We're just fast forwarding a little bit, but the same night, same conversation. Jesus tells them all, this is my commandment. Love each other the same way I have loved you. They just saw his demonstration. But now I'm commanding you to do this. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you to go. Can you see that? He's appointed us. He's chosen us, he's appointed us, he's called us. People are always wondering, you know, what's God want me to do? I guarantee you I know what he wants you to do. He wants you to wash dirty feet. See, that's not all that exciting. We want the big glorious thing, you know. He just wants you to serve humanity as he gave us the example to do. All right, moving right along. The law and the prophets agreed with this. We already read Isaiah, the law and the prophets. said the same thing, Micah 6:8. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy. Let me ask you, who needs mercy? Human beings, right? Humanity, people with dirty feet. Isn't that right? Show mercy to people with dirty feet. And to walk humbly with your God. That's what God's after. It's what he's always been after. Hosea 6:6, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. Can you see that? I want you to show love to who? Your neighbor. Not offer who sacrifices? Can you see that? He doesn't need anything from us. People do need something from us. We need each other. You don't have to be busy offering me sacrifices. I don't really need anything. What I am looking for is a humble, contrite person who will show respect to my word. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. Now, what we're talking about, folks, religion can't see. A religious mind, a religious person cannot see, including modern day or Jesus' time. A religious mind cannot see the importance of serving humanity. That is not important. It's way down the list. We cannot see the importance of washing dirty feet. It's not even on the radar. And Jesus tells this story of I thought that was heaven music. We were all supposed to get up and dance. Luke 10:27, the man answered, and Jesus is going to teach the commandments to this guy. The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Religion can't see who their neighbor is. They cannot see it. You're gonna see this in the story. Read the story. I'm not going to read it today. Read the story in full of the Good Samaritan. You'll find out that the religious people cannot see the man in the ditch. They cannot understand the truth of serving humanity. They do not see the importance of washing dirty feet. They don't see it. Can't see it. They're blind about it. Luke 10:36, now which of these three, he tells them the story, then he says, now which of these three, the Levite, the priest, the Samaritan, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who attacked by bandits? Jesus asked, the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Religion can't see that. The priest and the Levite can't see it. They can see their temples. Oh, they love the temple. They can't see humanity. They can't see hurting humanity suffering outside the temple gate. They can't see it. It's just, they have blinders on. I'm gonna demonstrate blinders today. Now, I'm going to show you a picture that has a mistake in it. When you see the mistake, raise your hand. Don't shout me down. Just raise your hand when you see the mistake. And we'll wait a few minutes or a few seconds to see. When you see the mistake, raise your hand. No fair, Bob. Youngest person in the room has the smartest minds right here, you know. Us old people are like, whoa, I get it. Now, I'm usually great at these. I'm usually great at it. This one came across, actually, Bob posted it. This one came across, and I'm looking for a misspelled word. I'm looking for a number in the wrong place. I'm looking for all kinds of things, and I've seen them before. All right, if you've seen it, raise your hand nice and tall if you've seen the mistake. If you don't see the mistake, you can join me. You can join me. I didn't see it either. Well, let's read it. Where'd it go? You're never going to see it now, right? Was it not up there anymore? Can you find the mistake? Did you see it? Yeah, good for you. Cool. I didn't see it. I was getting it on purpose. I had an ulterior motive, and I didn't want to waste my time, so I just took it quickly because I wanted to show you. Can you see how the human mind can just not see stuff? Literally, just not see it. And I'm convinced religion cannot see the man in the ditch. They just can't see it. That's part of our job. That's really why we started Augustine Church, why we started Ormond Church and Augustine Church. We teach a certain message, and we're convinced that this message needs to be heard by as many people as possible. And what we teach is you follow and serve God by serving that guy in the ditch, and religion can't see it. So we just kind of decided as many possible voices as we can get to proclaim that truth. See, religion perpetuates a myth, and thanks for staying with me. We'll start winding this down. Religion somehow tells us that we can love God without serving humanity, that somehow you're going to be able to just give your life in service to God without your neighbor, without people, without humanity. Can't be done. Religion perpetuates that myth, that we can love God without serving humanity, that we can serve God without serving humanity, that we can somehow, religion will tell you, that we can somehow please God without washing dirty feet of human beings. That somehow you can do that. Jesus never gave that example. He never drew up temples. He washed feet. That's what he did. Somehow, religion has decided that I can condemn others for their dirty feet without condemning myself. Do you see that? When you condemn anybody else, you are condemning yourself, because we're all in the same group. It's mercy for everybody. Now, as I was telling somebody the other day, I have no problem being merciful to people once they're in jail. They're criminals, you lock them up. Now we can be merciful to you. Jesus even said in Matthew 25, visit those in prison. He wants us to lock them up. You know, you can't visit somebody in prison unless you first put them in there and lock them up. But somehow, I can condemn and judge somebody else's dirty feet without bringing judgment on myself. Can't be done. That somehow I can come here on Sunday and worship God and have Him accept my worship and my offering while I pass by the man in the ditch. Somehow you can do that. Religion says you can do it. They do it. Do it all the time. They're perpetuating a myth. All right. I have a little bit more to say, but I think we'll just start winding this down. Listen, I'm convinced of this, folks, and another reason we've started Augustine Church is I'm convinced of this, that we're doing something really important here, that we're doing something that has eternal significance. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. I never felt that too much before, even being successful in ministry. I really feel that we're serving humanity, that we discovered some kind of hidden truth that's pretty much hidden from almost every generation. And that together, we're doing something. I'm convinced of this. 1,000 years from now, we're going to think this was cool. We're going to think, wow, we saw some stuff that other people didn't see. When most people were passing by, we took the time to serve humanity. We took the time to wash someone's feet simply because Jesus asked us to go represent Him. Amen. 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 Let's thank our Facebook Live. Hey, let's all say hi to Nina today. Hey, Nina, we love you. Yeah, thanks. She watches the video, you know. So anyway, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next week.